Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of If Your Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And say it quietly, Sam, but the Manchester United faithful, they're the form team in the league right now. 3-0. We've just watched it. 3-0 away at Everton. The Goodison Park faithful were not happy, understandably, for many reasons.
They're not happy about anything at the moment.
But the Manchester United fans absolutely loving it right now. Are they in the top four race all of a sudden again? Gotta
no.
be, haven't they?
Just don't get it. Just calm down.
I know we have a lot of Manchester United fans that listen in, right? So I'm just, for a change, because I get a lot of stick on Twitter about never saying anything about Manchester United or anything nice about Manchester United. It's not in my nature, I'll be honest.
Well,
I'm giving them a little bit
say.
Of praise. I'm giving them a little bit of praise. Good performance today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. What did you... let me ask you a different question then. Garnacho's goal of the season, or no?
It was a very good goal.
Yeah. Better than Olise yesterday? Yes is the answer to that.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yes. Elise's goal was so good yesterday. Let me know which goal you thought was better, guys. I thought Elise's was so good. And then Garnacho pops up with that today. Absolutely brilliant goal. Absolutely. It kind of gave me like Rooney versus Man City vibes. Do you remember that goal he scored back in the Manchester Derby? Then it kind of gave me, and they did on Sky this little bit afterwards about like the sort of famous bicycle kicks. It gave me sort of Benteke vibes. Do you remember Benteke from a few years ago? Also against Manchester United for Liverpool in the famous white kit that we only ever wore once. But that was Benteke overhead kick.
Only wore once?
We had this weird like white kit that we only ever wore like a handful of times. It really wasn't very nice. But anyway, Garnacho today, absolutely brilliant. And if you are a Bruno Fernandes owner, if you still own Bruno in FPL, how do you feel about him giving the penalty to Marcus Rashford as well? I'm not sure I'd feel too great about that as a Bruno owner.
I must admit, I was a bit confused.
Yeah. Well, they asked him after the game and they said, well, we needed to... Bruno said he wanted to give Rashford a bit of a confidence boost and he was confident that Rashford would take it and tuck it away because he's a great penalty taker, etc., etc. But another one of these kind of pity penalties. I'm not sure I really like these, right? Havertz had one earlier in the season, if you remember, where Saka gave him the ball. And now we've had one for Rashford as well. Are you a fan of this or no?
Well, look, I'm not a fan of it if it detracts from my FPL points.
True.
Like, the Man United one didn't really matter to me. But if that happened at Spurs and it was a point, you know, that it was sun giving it to someone else, I'd be like, what you doing?
Yeah.
And I suspect that a lot of the Bruno Fernandes, I mean, he did get an assist, didn't he, later on, but you'd be annoyed.
You would be annoyed. But it was a case of Everton not taking their chances today. Lots of XG, I think 2.5 XG on the back of that game. Nothing to show for it, right? And I actually think that from the stats that I saw on Sky, the United XG was lower. So Everton carved out higher XG in that game.
We did.
But still lost 3-0, which was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I'd love to know what the XG was on Garnacho's goal. Got to be pretty low, right? But what a strike. So, so good. And I think the same can be said for your team, actually. I think both games are actually similar today in terms of XG. Spurs carving out tons and tons of XG, particularly in that first half, being pretty wasteful, right? Not a lot going your way.
Well, I mean, there's two things I think we could say about that. One, yes, wasteful from Spurs. Very, very much so. And I spent a lot of time shouting at the TV, if we don't take their chances, we are going to regret this. Only to then regret it.
Yeah.
But also Martinez was really, really good in the Villa goal today. He made some absolutely blinding saves. So, yes, Spurs, incredibly wasteful and very annoying. But Martinez also, some credit due there as well to him because he played really well.
Indeed. Well, listen, lots of FPL action to go through, guys. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam. The Smiths 1986, Azzy is here. He says, is it time to invest in the Liverpool defence? Azzy, what, you mean you haven't got Tsimikas already?
Why have you not got the Greek Scousers?
Got to go for him. Liverpool's fixtures over the next three in particular look very, very good. So, yes, it might be time to start investing in Liverpool a bit heavier, maybe even in the defence, guys. We'll talk about them a bit later on. Nigel the Crab sent a super chat. Cyberdet, how are you, mate? Never expected some levity from a family tragedy than points from Maguire and Lascelles and Alanga. Yes, Simon, we know, mate, you've been going through a horrible week this week, mate. So we're all sending you all of our love because what you've been through is really, really awful. So listen, all of our love. And I know the patrons send all of their love as well, mate. So I hope you're okay. Really hope you're okay. Some points from Lascelles and Alanga, though, which, to be honest with you, is classic Sai, isn't it? I mean, who's got Alanga?
Sai.
And no one else
has got
Alanga.
I bet there's only one team in FPL. We'll see Sai mentioned by official FPL later.
0.00001% owned in its side.
Just say, yeah. Elanga scored some points today, only owned by Cyberdare.
Right. Wilco is in. How are we doing, Wilco? Liam Healy is here. How are we doing? Civilian X is here. Joseph Maloney, Stephen Engelfield, Time to Sell Sun. Yes, we'll be talking about him a bit later on as well. Another blank for him, although pretty unlucky, right? I didn't see the game. I was taking our lad over to Barnet for a grassroots game, but you stayed here, did watch the game. A hat-trick of offsides, wasn't it? VAR calls that just stopped Son from getting the points this week.
All correct. Like, they were all offside. Yeah. However, that's the hat-trick you don't want, isn't it?
Yeah.
A hat-trick of offsides. He was really, really unlucky today. Spurs generally were... Well, I can't work out whether it was unlucky or wasteful or just stupid for being offside that many times.
Yeah.
But what I will say is the creativity was back, and that's really important going forward. Like, you know, having that spark. I thought Gio Lo Celso played really well. Great goal for him as well today. Scored, was a lovely, lovely goal. So, yeah, he did well. And I think the creativity was definitely there, even without Maddison. So
all right.
Well, that bodes well for some, but the question is whether you want to stay loyal with Man City up next.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about Spurs in a bit more detail later on. Anthony is in. Anthony, I haven't seen you in a live stream for a little while, mate. Nice to see you. Hope you're well. Chatterbox 5200 is here. Can't believe I bought in Solanke and relegated Gordon and his 13 points to the bench. Listen, I don't think Solanke in was a bad transfer, by the way, Chatterbox. I think there's a lot of FPL managers talking about doing that this week. And it's the right call, right? Because Bournemouth has racked up a load of XG, a load of goals, and he's just not been part of it. If you bought in Solanke this week, that's just dead unlucky, right?
Well, I think if you'd have said Solanke, Bournemouth are going to win that game, they're going to score 3 goals, you'd have gone, brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
As a Solanke owner, you'd have been like, yes, that's perfect. Like, if you were doing the Match of the Day challenge and you saw it come up there early on Match of the Day, you'd be like, yes, here comes the points.
Yeah, fourth really for XG underachievers this game week, Solanke, with an XG delta of 0.65. So, yeah, he definitely in and around it, just didn't take the chances. So, given that Bournemouth's fixtures continue to look pretty good, I don't think I'd be too upset about that, Chatterbox. He's there, he was in all the right areas. You just didn't get the result that you were looking for this week. But listen, it's coming. It's going to come for him. John Tyner is in. How are we doing, mate? Nice to see you. Andrew Yee is in. Captain Son. That's a tough one to take, Andrew. That is a tough one, mate. Tanky is here. Ian Smith. Lugani. And a whole host of you. And so thank you very much, guys, for joining us here on FPL Family here this evening. Sam, let's get into the games. I've got to take a sip of water.
I want a fidget. I find it comfy.
Because I've had a cold for the last week and I'm still struggling with it. So talk us through the game that you'd like to... Well, talk us through some of these results, but where would you like to start with
these
fixtures?
I think we should go right back to the beginning, actually, because I think for me... Well, oh, dear.
Hacking away.
And you've been all right today. The cough seems to...
It's because I'm talking a lot. It's because I'm... You need to do more of the talking.
I don't... Oh, gosh. Okay, well, let's start with Liverpool, because I think that...
Go on, then.
That game... My hair's going everywhere as well. What's a bit of a disaster this moment? Yeah, so Liverpool, Manchester City, all the way back at the beginning of the game week. I think... We have to kind of start there, really, because for most of us, that was the game where the captaincy decision was weighing.
Many were in there.
It was, do you go with Haaland? Do you go with Salah? I mean, there was a conversation around Son and others as well, but I think most people were kind of looking at this fixture. And obviously, there was some doubt over Haaland until he tweeted the night before, see you tomorrow. And then everyone was kind of like, oh, I think he's going to be all right.
There was never any doubt over Haaland.
Well,
come on.
No, I think there was enough. I think.
Pep and his mind games. Come on. I was never not going to captain Haaland. There was a bit of me that... I don't think I was ever going to captain Salah. I think if I was going to have an alternative captain, it would have been Son, I think. If I'd had Son, I probably would have gone there, I think. But given that I didn't have him, stuck it on the big man. More out of kind of default sort of choice more than anything, I think. So yeah, came in, but only on the back of a mistake, right? I mean, the way that Liverpool defended for that goal was not particularly good, from Alisson's kick out, all the way that the two defenders, I can't think who it was. I think one of them was Trent. I think another one might have been... don't know, somebody in the middle there, Curtis Jones maybe, didn't react when Ake picked the ball up, slots it through to Haaland, and even on the shot, he kind of scuffs it a little bit, and Alisson maybe gets a big hand to it, and you'd maybe say, well, there's three opportunities to avoid that goal there, and he still manages to get the goal, Haaland. But listen, I thought it was from my perspective, I was quite pleased with that from a Liverpool performance. I thought it was quite good.
Yeah, but I think there's a couple of things that come off the back of it from a Liverpool perspective, aren't there? The first one is the goalkeeper. Alisson, you kind of mentioned him already, but a lot of people, and we had a question in the Slack already or a comment in the chat earlier about is it time to invest in the Liverpool defence if you haven't already got the likes of Tsimikas or whatever in your team? And I think the thing that puts me off a little bit is Alisson and the availability of the goalkeeper, because...
But shame if he's got a hamstring injury, yeah.
Yeah, because towards the back end of that game, he was really struggling and the kicks that were coming out were dodgy at best.
Throughout the game, actually.
Yeah.
Wonder whether he might have been carrying a little bit or something. Maybe.
He didn't look right the whole way through the game. There was a lot of mistakes from Alisson, which is very unlike him. He's not a mistake-heavy goalkeeper. He's normally, the height of consistent and a goalkeeper that I really, really rate. But in this game, he just was off it. And then towards the back end of the game, right at the death, sort of the last 5 minutes or so, he was really struggling. The kick out right at the end where he almost gave it away again. And then it went for a corner, didn't it? And I was thinking, oh, gosh. And I think he went down and was sort of signalling, I've got to come off, before realising, I can't come off because we've used all of our subs.
Yeah.
So he had to kind of see the game out.
From an FPL perspective, though, let's look at those Liverpool fixtures, because we are still sitting pretty nicely there on the fixture difficulty rating according to Fantasy Football Scout's website. So Liverpool with Fulham at home up next, which looks pretty good for us Salah owners. Sheffield United, Crystal Palace, Man United, Arsenal in 18, which is looking increasingly like a difficult game week to navigate because of those blanks that are in there, as you can see, for Brentford and for Man City. But then Burnley in 19. So the foreseeable looks all right for Liverpool. If you're not invested in Salah, I think you go there.
Mm-hmm.
Where else might you go in Liverpool, though? A bit of a clamour for Nunes. We got asked about Nunes on the FPL fantasy show on Sky on Saturday, didn't we? And I kind of went, yeah, good asset, like him. But we saw, again, really, I know it's Manchester City, so it's difficult to sort of conclude too many things. But... was getting in the right areas, a little bit wasteful. I noticed he was in the top 10 of XG underachievers with a delta of 0.43. Again. So he's regularly in that underachiever bracket, which is good and bad, isn't it? Do you see it as a good thing that he's getting in those positions, or a bad thing that he's not delivering on his XG?
Well, let's go back to the goalkeeper conversation in a minute then, because I wanted to talk about the defence and you've moved us along quite quickly.
Okay.
But Darwin, if you want to talk about him... I find him incredibly infuriating. I love Darwin Nunes. I like watching him. But in FPL, I still really struggle to see him as a good option, because he gets all of these opportunities and these chances, and then just week upon week upon week, we're not seeing the end product come as a result of that. And yes, he's got some assists over the course of the last few weeks for Salah, and there's definitely been an improvement in Darwin Nunes in recent weeks. However, I still don't trust him to bring returns. And I think that's the issue, is that, if you're looking to invest in Liverpool in the coming weeks, which I think we all should be, because the fixtures are nice, and obviously they don't blank in 18, and yes, they've got a difficult fixture in 18 against Arsenal, but nonetheless, it's a game where Man City don't have one. And I think a lot of people will be going for a Salah, of course, and he's still quite lowly owned, remember, Salah. And I think if you don't have any Liverpool, be prioritising him over Darwin. I'm not even sure that he'd be my... And I guess this is where the conversation goes back to the defenders, because ahead of the potential Alisson issues, my second choice Liverpool player would have been a defender for those fixtures that are coming up, because you're coming up against teams that aren't scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah, there's some clean sheets there, isn't there?
So there definitely looks like there's some clean sheets there. And we've got... on both sides of the pitch with Trent and Tsimikas at different ends of the budget spectrum, but we've got attacking potential for both of them with their set piece threat that they have from corners and that kind of thing. However, the goalkeeper injury does put me off of them, because Alisson is so important in the way that you play.
Well, would you consider getting Kelleher then? Well, if Alisson is out for a little while? No?
I don't like him very much.
All right, I'm sure he loves you, but yeah, okay.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he watches FPL Family week upon week. It's not a personal thing. It's just that I think when one of the major strengths of the Liverpool defence has always been Alisson and how strong and great a goalkeeper he is. When you take him out of the mix and you replace him with a goalkeeper that is well, second choice,
mm.
it does have an impact on how the defence feels. You know, we're seeing it, I suppose, in the other way around, aren't we, with the centre-backs being missing and what impact that that has on Vicario. You get the opposite effect when the goalkeeper's there because the centre-backs don't have the same relationship as they would have done. So are the clean sheets less likely to stick, I guess, is the question I'm asking you.
Okay. I'm not really sure why you're having a conversation about defence. I think you get Tsimikas and that's it. I don't think you need to go anywhere else. So I certainly wouldn't be doubling up. Our defence isn't good enough to double up. We still lack a six. Endo came on and did an all right job. Gravenberg and McAllister can sometimes do a job there, but there's no need to double up on Liverpool, I think, defensively. Salah and Tsimikas, I think, for sure you have. And then if you were going to get a third one for this little run coming up, you go for somebody else up top. You go for a Diaz or a Jota or a Nunes, I think. You go for one of them. Those are the ones to add. And just know that, yes, you'll get a bit of rotation around some of those games. And...
But can you then?
Well, yeah, I think there's still points, even though they get rotated, because they can still come off the bench.
But what I meant more by that was, can you really invest in them when you know you've got a blank game week coming up?
Do Liverpool have a blank game week coming up?
No, but Man City do and Brentford do. And if we're talking about investment in Haaland and, you know, other Man City assets potentially that you might want, and Brian Mbeumo and any other Brentford assets that you might have, can you really take a chance on investing in a Liverpool player that may or may not get the start?
Mm. You're saying just Salah and Tsimikas then? Those are just the two to have?
Yeah.
Okay. And what about from a City perspective then in this game? So... I know he got a yellow card and that's all he's really got to show for it in this game. But Bernardo Silva was absolute class. Absolute class in this game, particularly in the first half. Unbelievable. Not very FPL relevant for this conversation, but so, so good. What else did you think of Manchester City, particularly Haaland's performance?
I thought Doku had a really good performance, actually. I'm really impressed by him. And I know that, you know, if you listen to what was being said, was he due to start the game?
Played well? Or do you think Trent did a good job on him?
No, I think he's impressive. I really do. I think he's really impressive. I really like him. I think he creates chaos, a bit like Darwin, actually. He creates chaos, but will finish his dinner. And I think that, for me, is really important. Now, again, the risk of rotation is there. Grealish was ill this week, so... that's where he was, and seems like he was probably going to get the start ahead of Alvarez by all accounts. So yeah. I think that makes Alvarez... And again, we have to, I think, given that we're going into 14 and 18 is the blank for them, you have to kind of start looking at Manchester City and going, all right, well, clearly Haaland is not going to go anywhere. Nobody's... unless you've still got your wild card, then I think it's a different conversation, because you could, in theory, then sell Haaland after game week 17... Mm. And bring him back, you know, for game week 19 and it'd be fine. But with the rest of them, if you don't have your wild card, I do think you need to start just having a bit of a plan.
What do you make of Doku getting 3 bonus points without getting any FPL involvement in this game?
That shows how...
What did he do that means he gets the 3 bonus points?
Well, it's that shows how important he was in the play. The amount of touches he's getting, the amount of interceptions he's doing, the amount of... because you get them for all sorts of things. You get them, you build up bonus points for... making tackles, being tackled, you lose them for, being creative, all of the kind of donkey work, for want of a better phrase, that goes around a football pitch, all of the stuff, those kind of underlying things that don't necessarily get you any actual FPL points, but all of that stuff that makes your team more likely to score and win the game, he is really good for attracting them, a bit like Trippier is. He's good for it as well. And there's a lot of players out there that just do this underlying stuff, and they'll dribble the ball, they'll carry it. That's going to get them underlying stats. So all of that means that they're likely to get them. Now, in a lowish scoring game like this one was, one goal each, no major attacking returns, nobody like banging a couple of goals or whatever. Mm. You will likely see players like Doku just take all 3 bonus points.
Yeah. I wonder whether it was a bit of an anomaly, though. And I noticed, actually, in the Scout members area, he's joint third for chances created, right? So he did have a good game. Listen, this is not me besmirching him, because I do think he's really good. I think the Premier League have got a great player that we're going to enjoy watching over the years.
Yeah.
I think he's an exciting player. But I noticed the way that Trent defended against him was always to show him inside. Always. And if you look at some of the stats between Doku and Trent over the weekend, There's you'll find it. Doku beat Trent. He went past him a lot, right? But that was by design, because when Doku went past Trent, he went past him on the inside rather than the outside. And where Doku does his best work is he goes past the defenders on the outside and then gets to the byline and pulls it back. Trent did not allow that. Trent always showed him on the inside and showed him into traffic, into Matip, into Van Dijk, and then into McAllister, whoever was playing the six. And then, yeah, you know, sometimes that worked and a chance created came of it. But from a bonus point perspective, it was that's brilliant, right? Because you want your players like Doku taking on defenders and beating them. But what I'm saying is I think Trent allowed that a lot on the inside tactically at the weekend, which boosted Doku up the bonus points. I'm not saying he wouldn't have got maybe one or two, but I think the fact that he got three bonus points without getting FPL involvement was a little bit of an anomaly. But I still think he's a good option, and I still think he's an exciting player.
Mm, yeah, maybe. I mean, I thought he deserved all three bonus points because I actually thought that he was the best player on the park.
Bernardo Silva was the best in the park, without a doubt. But
we'll disagree on that one. But I thought Doku was excellent, and I really like him. And if Man City weren't blanking, I'd be really, really, really tempted to take a bit of a punt on him. But because of the blank, obviously that's
difficult
because they're not going to play, and so I need to make sure that my team is set up for that. But also, you're in a place where when you're planning for a blank, you can't really take any risks with other players either that you might want. So even if it wasn't Man City that were blanking, I'd still struggle with Doku at the moment, because you need to make sure that the other players that you've got that are playing in that week are guaranteed the start, and you still don't have that with him, and that is quite difficult.
Cool. All right, well, let's move on to Newcastle 4. Chelsea won then, which was, I have to say, probably a bit of a surprising result from my perspective. I did think we'd get some. I wondered whether Chelsea had turned a bit of a corner, but
why?
But maybe not. Well, they've had a good week, didn't they? A couple of good results.
No, but let's be frank. They were doing badly against Spurs at 11. Badly. They were getting badly beaten when it was 11 versus 11. They were all over the place. Romero gets sent off. They get a penalty. It changed the game. Then Udogi get... And even at 10 versus 11, they were still second best. Then Udogi gets sent off. They were still second best until the very end of the game when we got knackered. And that was that. Against Man City, it was just chaos. It was a chaos game.
Yeah.
So I have not watched Chelsea and thought...
That was a great performance where you controlled it and it was a really good win.
I will caveat that with Cole Palmer and just leave him aside for a second. But as a... For Chelsea's perspective, two great results against Spurs and against Man City, but not two great performances. So going up to Newcastle, who are...
Good at home.
Are a great team and have had their own struggles recently because of injuries and everything else. This didn't shock me because Chelsea just, they have this in them, like, you know, I don't think Chelsea beats Spurs if it's still 11 versus 11 that night.
Well, both of these teams are FPL relevant right now.
Yes.
Because, as we said before, Newcastle, top of the tick, and Man United at home, who are in great form themselves, right? We've just seen them turn Everton over at Goodison. Then Everton, then Spurs away for Newcastle, which looks pretty mouthwatering, I would say, in 16. Fulham, Luton, importantly, in 18 for Newcastle. And then Notts Forest. And then Chelsea, of course, Brighton up next, Manchester United away, Everton, Sheffield United, Wolves Palace. So, you know, forgive me, United fans, but, you know, I would make that Manchester United fixture for Chelsea in game week 15 probably a bit less red than it might appear on this ticker. Although a trip to Old Trafford, listen, I mean, they're doing well at the minute, Manchester United, right? And they will be buoyed by today. So maybe it is maybe it is that colour. But you'd put Chelsea and Newcastle both in the, you know, we should be talking about them in FPL bracket.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who have you got from both of those sites? Just Gordon, right?
Yeah.
Just Gordon. So let's start with Newcastle then. Where else might you invest or not at all? And I have to say, another shout out to Mr. Trippier, because he was top for crosses this game week with 16 across all players in the game week. And according to the Fantasy Football Scout members area, he was top by a long way for touches in the opponent's half. He was first across the game week with Zinchenko and then Bruno Guimaraes coming in third. But Trippier way out there on both of those metrics. So again, properly involved Kieran Trippier. And, you know, with those games coming up, Man U, Everton, Spurs, Fulham, Luton, Forest. I mean, there's points at both ends of the pitch for Trippier there. He's going to be worth the money, isn't he, over this little run?
Maybe. I just don't think there's enough clean sheets at the moment to warrant this expense of him. Mm. And that is my overriding issue with the defence. This is not just a Newcastle comment, by the way. This is a defender's comment in FPL generally.
Not a lot of clean sheets knocking about.
There's few clean sheets this season. And the thing with the defenders is, the reason why you pay the premium for the likes of Trent in the past, for Robertson, for Trippier, for Van Dijk, you know, the reason why you play for Saliba is because there's clean sheets and they're the bread and butter of defenders and they're pretty much likely to get one most weeks.
Newcastle would have got one here, though, were it not for a really good strike by Sterling. It was a lovely free kick.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that. My big issue with Trippier remains that at his price point, there's a lot of other players I can have in the forward positions that will get me probably as many attacking returns over the next few weeks as Trippier will. Now, Trippier's worth it if there's clean sheets there as well. But if the clean sheets don't stick, then I'd rather put that money into my midfield or into my forward line than I would into the defence, because the defence I will just cover out with the cheap assets that have also got some attacking threat potential and then have...
And Sai is saying in the chat, the main issue with Trippier is the sheer volume of fixtures. And I don't disagree with that, but they're kind of a bit short at the back, aren't they? They've kind of got to play him, haven't they, at the moment?
Well, they are, but they don't have a free midweek size right until January.
Mm.
And he's on 4 yellow cards.
Oh, did you pick up a 4th yellow this week?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Yeah, okay. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, so keep your eye on that one, right?
So,
yeah,
good if shout. He gets booked, then he's missing a game. Let's say he gets booked in the game before Spurs. no free midweeks. It's really important because they are going to be flogging Newcastle because they've got a lot of injuries.
Good shout, Nigel. So Nigel followed that point. It's a great shout. He said Europe's kind of, you know, been a real heavy going for them. The international break was exactly that. It was a break for them. They've had a bit of a reset, come back, bosh, 4-1 against Chelsea, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Good shout, Si.
But... I do worry about fixture congestion. There's a number of clubs, but you know, Newcastle, West Ham and Liverpool are the ones with the biggest congestion. They've got 11 matches, no free weeks in the middle of the week until January.
Okay.
So that you do have to be mindful of that. And when you've got a player that's also on 4 yellows, that's another thing to just be aware of. Because again, if Trippier goes and gets himself yellow carded in 17 and misses 18, then you're really struggling when you're already out with your Brentford and your Man City assets.
All right then, so you're a little bit cold on Trippier. Can I tempt you with a half the price of a Trippier, Lascelles?
Yeah, maybe I'm more interested. But again, the lack of clean sheets is a thing. But with Lascelles, see, if I'm buying Lascelles, I'm not buying Lascelles because of the attacking threat. Yes, I know he got a goal before, you will come at me. However, he's not going to get... This is Lascelles. He's not going to get goals every week, right? But at the price point that he is, I'm quite happy to strip all the money out of my defence with the way that the defenders are at the moment. I don't feel that way about my Arsenal defence. I'm quite happy to have the money spent on Saliba. However, for a lot of the other defenders in the game right now, the Tsimikases of this world, the Lascelles of this world, they are by far... most attractive to me because they allow me to spend the budget on the players that are doing the business in midfield and up front.
Yeah. And only two clean sheets this season, right? This week, Arsenal and Manchester United, the only team so far to keep a clean sheet. Talk to me about Chelsea then. I think I agree with your narrative. I'll buy into that. The whole kind of, I'm sitting here thinking they've turned a bit of a corner and Kyle Palmer's turning up and, you know,
Kyle Palmer's great.
Is Poch starting to get it right? But there are some caveats when you actually think back to the games. The Spurs game, crazy, and against nine men and a high line, and. The City game, crazy game, bonkers, stupid game. Maybe a one-off, like one of the games of the Premier League era.
That was
right?
Great.
So here we are, you know, here I am, I must say, with sort of some expectation that Chelsea might go to St James's and get something, given Newcastle's, you know, injury list. And they get walloped 4-1, right? And
Poch has a bit of a dig
at them. Poch has a bit of a dig at the players. It all feels a little bit murky. Reece James gets the red. The body language from Reece James. Did you see it when he got the two yellows? And the two yellows were silly as well. Like, the first one's for kicking the ball away. The second one is because he puts his hands on Gordon. And yeah, it is a yellow, but it's not like he's, you know, he's not diving in, you know. They're both soft is what I'm trying to say.
But they're both yellows.
Yeah, by the letter of the law, yes, they are. But like silly yellows, do you know what I mean? Like he should know better, Reece James. But as the second yellow's going up and the ref's putting the red up, there's almost this kind of like air of resignation about it from Reece James. He's not kind of like, he's not moaning about it. He's not like, you know, he's just like, yeah, all right, you got me. And off he trudges, you know. And I don't, you know, I'm not advocating players, you know, getting in referees' faces or anything. But I'm like, show you're a bit upset, Reece. Do you know what I mean? You're almost kind of like, yeah, all right, no problem, off I go. And there was just an air of resignation about the Chelsea performance, which I was not expecting. Two good results, right? Forget the circumstances in which they came. Two crazy games. But a win's a win at Spurs. It's good to get a win against Spurs. And you get a draw against City, that's good. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that from this week. So coming into this game, surely the tails were up. But not the case, right? Got battered.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I really like Cole Palmer. I think he's a great option in FPL, mostly because of his price point. If he was 8 million, you wouldn't want to invest in him.
Has he got the players around him, though, to actually give him the opportunity?
But that's the point I'm making. If he was 8 million, no, you wouldn't. But yeah, at the so price cheap, point that he is, you can, because he's got penalties as well, and they seem to be getting loads of them. So you can afford to have him as your fifth midfielder, because he's a good pick. So, but I just think that the rest of them, like, yes, Sterling scores an absolutely glorious free kick. It was lovely. However, not going to do that every week. We've not seen that from Sterling so far this season. We've seen very often Sterling for a lot of the weeks. Defensively,
they give up too many chances. I know Reece's gone off here, but they do. They give up. You get opportunities to score against Chelsea.
Absolutely. Almost. I mean, look at how many they gave Nyman Spurs. Yeah. Like, they will give up opportunities a lot. So the clean sheets aren't there. And that's why, even when Reece James is back again after the ban that he's now going to have in game week 14, I will struggle with Chelsea's defence. And Reece James is, we know he's got really good attacking threat, but I don't see the clean sheets there. Mm. And I don't trust Chelsea to score goals either. You can create as many chances as you want, but there's not enough goal scorers in that team.
Do you know what? I did have, when I was looking at this game to see how Chelsea were going to get on, because I had earmarked a bit of a Matty Cash to Reece James move.
No, Matt Cash. Let's not talk about
him. Well, we've got to talk about him later. But I had sort of got that in my head as a potential move for next week. Obviously not now with the suspension. Doesn't mean I won't be getting rid of Cash. I think that is going to happen. But obviously not bringing in Reece James now. It's a difficult one, isn't it? Difficult. For me, if you've got Kyle Palmer, you hold. Would you bring him in ahead of Brighton at home in 14? I still think if you were moving money around, so you've got two free transfers, for example. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to get a heavy hitter in somewhere, you know, downgrading somebody to a Kyle Palmer is absolutely fine, isn't it? To enable you the money to do something else. I mean, I'm cool with that if that's your strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. That is absolutely something that I was looking at this week. I looked at it for this week with Bowen and everything else that was going on. So I think it's fine. I think there are other midfielders, however, the one on the graphic, you know, not to speak about him yet, but he would be a bigger priority for me than Cole Palmer this week. However, I think, like Lee says, if you want to move budget around, Cole Palmer's perfect for allowing you to do that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's enough said about Chelsea. anything else? Anything else about them? I feel like I had a good point to say about them a second ago, but I've lost
Chelsea?
It.
Chelsea?
I was going to mention Nkunku coming back potentially.
Yeah, but you're not going to invest in Nkunku yet.
But you're not, are you? You're going to have a look at it first, I think. All right, enough about them. I do want to talk about your man Mbeumo, though. He is on the thumbnail for a reason, because he is going to be a very popular transfer in, I think, ahead of game week 14, despite no FPL points. Could have, though. I tell you what, he had chances. Again.
That one where Ramsdale fluffed it.
He had chances.
And thank goodness Aaron Ramsdale's life flashed before his eyes.
Didn't
until he saw Declan Rice in a superhero, not all heroes wear capes, kind of goal line clearance.
Ramsdale, did you watch Arteta's post-match where he was asked about Ramsdale?
No.
So he's being asked about the team and the game, and obviously he's happy he's won the game. It's 3 points at Brentford. It's not hard to not be happy about that.
Right at the end as well.
And the lady doing the interview from Match of the Day or whatever it's from BBC talks about, you know, Ramsdale. And Arteta's face, and sorry for the podcast, this is not going to come across very well, but from YouTube, you'll be able to see it. Arteta's all like smiley, oh, we won the game. And she asks about Ramsdale and he goes, yeah, the defence around him were great. As a team, collectively, they did really, really well. And that's it. He goes from being really, really happy to, like, don't talk to me about that guy. Do you know what I mean? There's either something's happened, he doesn't rate him, or, you know, he knows that, like you, that he got out of jail a bit with that Declan Rice one.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, David Raya is Arsenal number one. There is no chance, I don't think. And if you wanted to, we've gone off on Bremo, we need to go back there, but let's just do this quickly with the Arsenal defence. With the fixtures coming up for Arsenal, let's just quickly check those out. Because they still don't look too bad. It's Wolves, Luton, Aston Villa away, which is difficult in 16. Brighton, Liverpool in that difficult game week 18, and then West Ham. So a couple of difficult ones, but certainly Wolves and Luton up next. If you want to double up on the Arsenal defence, I do not mind it. And if you're in any way worried about David Raya not playing in any of those games, my opinion would be do not worry. Do not worry. So if you've got a Gabriel or a Saliba, and you and I are both in those camps, I'm Gabriel, you're Saliba, I would consider going for a Saliba as well. I could go cash to Saliba and double up. But I think I would just as easily get rid of Areola, who is just annoying me every week with the lack of clean sheets at West Ham, and just get a Raya instead. I've got the money to do it. I'm definitely considering that this week. And then double Arsenal defence. Because you're right, the clean sheets are not looking great across the board, except at Arsenal. They're looking all right.
I am seriously thinking about buying Gabriel as well as Saliba for Matt Cash.
Don't mind it.
Because I'm looking across the league and I'm like, all right, I've got to get rid of Matt Cash because I'm going to lose the plot. So I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, I've got Simi and I've got Saliba. They're the only two I'm really genuinely happy with. Oh, Charlie Taylor I'm quite happy with as well because he's so just bench fodder that it's fine. But then I'm looking at the rest of my defence and I'm like, okay, who's going to be Matt Cash's replacement? And when I look at the fixtures and the teams that have got decent fixtures, yes, there's Newcastle in there who I absolutely don't hate the Lascelles pick. But the Arsenal ones are the ones that stand out because the defenders often get clean sheets and bonus points because they're not scoring that many goals.
Yeah.
So but both Gabriel and Saliba were on for bonus points until right at the death of that game when the goal goes in, which knocked them both out.
Well, if you look at, again, you know, sorry, podcasters, but the graphic that you can see on screen here from Fantasy Football Scout and the fixture difficulty rating, in terms of the next sort of two games, and this is sorted by difficulty, the next couple of games, Newcastle, okay, we've mentioned Lascelles and Trippier, and we've had that conversation. Liverpool, where we've got Tsimikas,
and I'm
suggesting don't double up. Bournemouth, nah. Forest, nah. Burnley, nah. And there's Charlie Taylor.
Charlie Taylor,
Chelsea, we've just discussed, not doing it. Sheffield United, nah. So, you do have to go all the way down to Arsenal with Wolves and Luton in the next two.
Yeah, but that should be two clean sheets.
You think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And that's my point, isn't it? That if you were going to get rid of Matty Cash next week, I would say don't let the fact you've got Gabriel or Saliba stop you from getting the other one.
No, I'd agree.
And David Raya is also an option.
He is.
You're not as keen, are you?
Only because it's a goalkeeper change. And I don't think anybody really has a massive priority. So yes,
we all want rid of Areola, don't we? Come on.
Of course. Of course we all want rid of Areola. He's driving us all insane. However, is it a priority in the same way that, like,
Palace
a Matt Cash is or a Bowen, you know, if Bowen is actually long-term out? Like, there's actual injury issues and problems to deal with across the rest of our team. Or just the fact that Cash is terrible. Whereas Areola, I mean, look, he got three, so it's not the end of the world.
What about Zinchenko? I noticed he was second across the game week for amongst defenders for BPS with 32. So he's up there with the three bonus points, despite not being involved with Havertz's goal, because the assist for that came from Saka. So Zinchenko, just the clean sheet, but also the three bonus points. So why are we not going for him?
I don't know. Maybe because if you're... I guess people have gone for Gabriel because of the price. Maybe they've gone for Saliba because of security of starts. Maybe that's why Zinchenko's been a little bit overlooked. Maybe there's a slightly more threat of rotation around him. But I thought he was excellent in this game. And I actually thought he was excellent for the last few weeks now. So he should be maybe somebody that we consider for sure.
All right. Well, we did touch on him a second ago and we breezed past him far too quickly. So we do need to go back to Brian and Bueno.
Brian.
I don't know how the stats have changed on the back of this game week. But going into game week 13... he was right up there for expected goal involvement across the season with Haaland and Salah, right? He was mixing it up. I think I saw a tweet from Bakar or somebody else that said, here are the top four players in the game for XGI over the first however many game weeks we've had, you know, whatever it was, 12 at that stage. You know, Haaland, Salah, Mbeumo, and then Watkins. And you're like, bloody hell, you got to have Mbeumo. And I think, for, you know, there wasn't necessarily a rush to get him for this game. And I can see that, right? If it wasn't for a Declan Rice intervention, it would have been some points for him. But I don't think anybody was rushing to get him ahead of, you know, Arsenal. But the Brentford fixtures going forward are pretty tasty looking, including this plum tie against Luton at home next week. Brighton away, Sheffield United away, Villa. Then it's the blank to consider, and then Wolves at home. Tell me, what do you think about Brentford against a low block, though? Because you've got to expect Luton are going to come to the Brentford Community Stadium in 14 and basically shut up shop, right?
Well, they try.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is Mbeumo and Vissa and all these guys are... they are designed as a team to hit on the counter-attack. They're designed as a team to get in behind with pace. Mm-hmm. They're not going to get in behind with pace when Luton come to stay, are they?
No, probably not in the same way that they will against teams like Arsenal, like Spurs, who will play.
Yeah.
Like Luton will be there just holding on with everything they've got.
Got their first win this weekend. They might be full of it. They might come and attack.
They might be... Was it their first win?
First Premier League win, wasn't it? At home?
At home, yeah.
Yeah.
Look, they're going to come, they'll be buoyed, they'll try the low block. Can they successfully navigate the low block against Mbeumo? I don't know. He's obviously got penalties in his locker as well. There's plenty of routes to points for him.
You bring him in this week?
Yeah, probably. So if we remember way back to game week, was it three? Whenever it was, when I had the straight choice between do I go for Alvarez or Foden, Wisser and Mbeumo,
yeah,
which way round did I go? And I inevitably got it wrong because I went Wisser and Foden, and what I should have done is go Mbeumo and Alvarez. I won't make the same mistake again this time.
Yeah.
Like Mbeumo, those easy fixtures are one. Really, really great for Brentford. Yeah. And yes, there's a blank in there, so plan for it. Just plan for a slot on the bench for him.
Yeah.
Because the week after the blank, you're going to want him again. So have the ability to bench him. Know that there'll be a double coming up for him. And yes, that double will involve Man City. But hey, Man City will play and he could get in behind.
Yeah.
So I really like Mbeumo. I think that he is the obvious transfer in this week. I think he is the obvious pick from Brentford. And I'm going to learn my lesson from last time. Because I prioritised Foden over Alvarez, that meant I got Wisser over Mbeumo. I'm going to prioritise having Mbeumo over anything else because I think that is the way that I need to go this game week.
I love him. I think he's great. I think he's really good.
Well, you've had him a lot this season already, haven't you?
Well, I have had him, yeah. And over the last couple of game weeks, they've had difficult fixtures. He's only got... Did he get an assist last week?
You keep trying to sell him, don't you? But you've given up on the idea.
Well, no. I think a few weeks back, it was Mbeumo to Bowen was going to be my transfer. Didn't really pay off or I made reasons not to do it. And then Mbeumo pops up with that haul against Chelsea, if I remember. And there was another nice one. So really great differential for me. And then I wanted to sell him ahead of these two difficult games that they've just had. But he got, an assist last week. Nothing this week, obviously. But Bowen was injured, so it was fine. And that was one of the reasons for keeping him for these two. But also the secondary reason was, well, actually, I don't want to have to book in a transfer in 14 to bring him back. So now I'm going into 14. I've had a pretty good 13. We'll talk about that in a second. Going into 14, I think a lot of FPL managers are going to be in your situation with like, right, how do I get to Mbeumo?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I can think, he's there, happily sitting in my team already. I've had him for a bit. What else can I do now in my team to get one step ahead of those that are trying to get Mbeumo in? And I think if you bought in Eze, for example, after he's come back from injury, I feel for this kid, right? I so feel for him because he's looked class, hasn't he? But if that injury is as bad as it looked, then, you know, an Eze to an Mbeumo is just easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just easy.
And depending upon what Moyes says about Bowen, Because obviously yeah. Nembhard was in the squad, so that's something I'm going to be watching and waiting for.
Yeah. Anybody else from Brentford, or is it just Nembhard for you?
No, for me it really is. Yeah. And I think, you know, you can, if you want to go for a Flecken, then fine, but just make sure that you've not got Turner as your backup goalkeeper, because you won't have a goalie then for 18, and that's going to be really important. So
Neil Morpie can't tempt you?
Absolutely not.
That's exactly the answer I was expecting. Sam, where else are we going to go? We've got a few more games to have to run through. Let's go to today then. Let's talk about your game. Spurs 1, Aston Villa 2. Over to you, because I did not watch... Oh, I need to change the page. There we go. I did not watch any of this game. I was very pleased when you texted me Pedro Porro assist. Thank you for that. That was a bit of a differential for me.
I think you might enjoy it. They got bonus points as well.
Yeah, do you know what? I was kind of expecting this game to be more of a madness than it was. 2-1 in the end.
No. The scoreline does not tell you about the madness of this game.
Tell us about the madness of this game.
So,
come on.
This game should have been 4-1 by halftime.
To Spurs?
Yes.
Right.
It was
okay.
Ridiculous. The right. amount of opportunities that we squandered. So within about 3 minutes, Udogi is through on goal. And I looked at the screen, having made a cup of tea. I walked back into the living room, and Udogi's just on his own, running at the goal. And I was like...
3 minutes in.
What?
Villa high line. Love it.
Put my tea down, because I thought in a minute I'm going to have to celebrate. And somehow he puts it in row Z. It's like, right, okay.
But that was a sign of things to come, by the sounds
that
of it.
That was the madness that came then, because right. then we've got... There were opportunities aplenty for Spurs. However, there were also plenty of opportunities, because what happened was Spurs were squandering them. They were going down the other end. There were some great opportunities for Watkins. Yeah.
Didn't he have one ruled out in the first half?
He had
one
ruled out for offside. It was...
Borderline.
Yeah. But, you know, one angle it looked very much off. One angle it looked very much on. And I was like, oh, I can't read it. And my mum's texting me from the stands, what's happening? And I was like, I can't tell you, because I can't...
Was it one of them, depending on how thick they draw the lines and all
was it? So the camera angle on one side of the pitch, he looked on. Okay. Then they showed a camera angle from the other side of the pitch and he looked off. And it was like, well, what is he? Anyway, it took him forever.
No, did it really?
Yeah, it did. And also, just to make you laugh, VAR wasn't working when they first kicked off.
Oh, good. Okay,
so they said at the beginning of the game, VAR's not working. Then we had a penalty shout within 3 minutes.
Okay.
Then they said, oh, we don't think VAR's looked at it. Then they came back 2 minutes later and said, oh, no, don't worry, VAR is working. They have looked at it. It wasn't the penalty. I think it was a penalty, but hey, that's just me. I'm biased.
You still don't know who's on pens for Spurs.
There were two penalty shouts today. I think they were both penalties, but, you know, that's just me. It was a madness. The whole game was a madness. What I will say is that... to finish off on Spurs before I talk about Villa, the creativity was back today.
Yeah.
In spades. But it sacrificed the defensive work.
Well, I think that's what... that was my initial feeling just before I left the house to go and take Max to his football match. I looked at the Spurs lineup and I thought, well, against Wolves, you had Bissouma, Højbjerg and Saar in midfield.
Yes.
Which is
kind of
very low creativity, but very high... industry and guile and control of the game, right? And that's kind of how it proved until right at the end with Sarabia putting out, you know, worldie of the season.
Yeah.
And then today, Ange decides not to play any M3, although I think Bissouma was suspended and Saar was injured. So there's some of it was, you know, enforced. But still, the three of them in the midfield there, you had Bentancur, you had Lo Celso, and then who else?
Brian Hill.
So I'm sitting there thinking, well, that is the complete opposite to Wolves. That is all creativity and flair and absolutely no control of the game.
But, so Bentancur was excellent until Matt Cash... I'm coming for you, Matt Cash, in a minute. We're going to have words.
Is that why you're selling him? Was it a bad tackle? I heard it was not a good
one. It was not a great tackle.
Right.
And Bentancur, he tried to play it on and there was no chance. And he
last thing
off.
He needs as well, Bentancur. Like, bless him. Honestly, he's only just come back.
He's just come back. It was his first start since March.
Yeah.
And
you need him as
and
well,
Matt
right?
Cash, and we need him. Yeah. Well, so next week it won't be. So he took him off and he put Højbjerg on. And Højbjerg did give that bit more industry then in that position. Lo Celso and Hill, both of them, I thought had really good games today. I was really impressed by both of them. I thought they did a good job. The creativity definitely stepped up. The big problem that Spurs had was the fact that we weren't playing a single centre-back. So we basically played... right. So we had Porro, Royale, Udogi and Ben Davis. So we had two left-backs and
full
two right-backs.
Yeah.
And it was like... So Vicario's just there with no one.
Yeah.
With no actual... And they kept looking at each other. And you could see Ange from the bench telling Ben Davis and Emerson Royale, who were effectively the middle, the centre-backs.
Not really leaders there either.
And it's like... And what I couldn't understand is why I didn't just play Ben... Why I didn't just play Eric Dier. Because at least Eric Dier is an actual centre-back and has actually done quite well in the last couple of games.
You need pace, though. You need pace against Derby and Watford.
Well, we sort of needed pace, but actually we also just needed a defender that knew how to be a centre-back.
Yeah.
So the problems were there defensively. However, Pedro Porro, I think, remains a hold even with Man City up next because he is regularly picking up these attacking returns.
Well, I was going to say, what does this all mean then for us in FPL? And by the way, just to finish up on Hill and
Lo
Celso, it looks like Lo Celso picked up the 3 bonus points, so he was definitely one to watch and a really nice goal as well. I was reading that they both kind of just got a bit knackered and lacking a bit of match fitness towards the end, which is understandable, isn't it?
I certainly feel that way about Brian Hill. I'm not sure I agree with that on Lo Celso because obviously he's been playing for Argentina.
But
I just think towards the end of the game, Spurs generally were looking a bit more like...
Ooh. All right, what does it all mean for us then, Spurs in FPL? So Man City next, obviously. West Ham at home, Newcastle difficult. So even away at Forest is quite tricky, isn't it?
But you asked the question, am I going to sell Son? No.
You're going to hold Son?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the creativity was there against Manchester City. We were getting in behind every opportunity. Like, it was constant. And that bodes really well for Sonny. Now, Man City are going to play a similar kind of football. We're going to get in behind. Can we take some of those chances? Well, that, again, remains to be seen.
You can't play that system against City that you played today.
Yeah, but from an... from a Spurs perspective, yes. But from an FPL perspective, Son's going to get opportunities in that game because we're going to go and play that kind of football. Wow. So I'm not going to sell Son yet because... I thought Gio did enough in that game to prove that we've got that. We've still got some attacking threat there. I thought Brennan Johnson was actually okay. Kulusevski missed an absolute... Came off the post and I went mental. I was recording reaction at the time.
Both of those two, by the way, in the top five for XG underachievers.
Kulusevski
third with a delta of 0.67 and Brennan Johnson fifth with an XG delta of 0.63. So both of them... Mm-hmm. Had opportunities.
Yeah,
so it was those two in the wider positions that were getting the chances.
Yeah, it was a madness. And I think for me, when I look at my team and I look at where my issues are, Son is not a big issue.
All right.
When I look across at Aston Villa, on the other hand, I'm trebled up on them.
Well, go on then. Let's talk about them because they are bottom of the ticker right now with Bournemouth away up next. Then it's City, Arsenal, Brentford away. Sheffield United at home in 18, which is such a nice fixture to have in a difficult game week. And then what looks like a red fixture because I can't see it behind the Scout logo there. What is that? Oh, Man United. Okay. So Man United then in 19. So yeah, I don't necessarily think they are an immediate sell, but from 15 they probably are. And if anybody wanted to get rid of them a week early in 14 next week, I would not be against it, particularly with Mr. Cash.
So I have two issues with Villa. So Ollie Watkins, I think, is a hold. I don't think you want to sell him. He could have had more goals than he did today. He was quite wasteful as well in the madness that was. Ollie Watkins had one ruled out and also could have had other goals today. He missed a couple that... Well, one I can think of at the back post where I'm not quite sure how it didn't go in. That would have made it 3-1 to Villa.
Who do you think scores more over the next three? Ollie Watkins or Darwin Nunez?
Ollie Watkins,
who has got Bournemouth, Man City and Arsenal. At least two of the best defences in the Premier League there, out of those three. And Darwin Nunez, who's got Fulham, Sheffield United and Crystal Palace. You think that Watkins scores more FPL points than Darwin Nunez over those next three games?
Mm. I think Darwin will get more. Darwin will have more shots, more opportunities, more goal potential, higher XG, higher XGI. And be outscored
lower
by
points.
And be outscored by Watkins.
It could be right, yeah.
So I think Watkins is an easy hold. For me, that's not a conversation.
I'm not sure he's an easy hold, but yeah, go on.
The conversation for me surrounds my other two, both of which were taken off at half time.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it? So they both, is GRB okay? Do we know?
Yeah, just wasn't really in the game.
All right. Okay.
And they were being outplayed. To be really clear, when you watch it back, you'll see Aston Villa were being outplayed in the first half, and how it wasn't more goals to Spurs, I don't know. And Diaby was just in a way that I had not anticipated. In my head, going into this game week, Diaby was a captaincy option because I genuinely thought his balls in behind the back line at Spurs,
in between the lines as well, he's good, isn't
would he? Be really good. Yeah. And it just wasn't. It didn't work in the midfield. And so he took him off. It was a tactical change, nothing else in it. And he took Matt Cash off because he was booked and he very nearly got another yellow card. I think the ref looked over and thought, he booked John McGinn, and then he looked over and I there was that moment where I think he thought, I'm going to have to send him off if I book him.
Yeah, and so, John McGinn's going to hit me.
And John McGinn might smash me. So he didn't. But it was tight, I think, that second one. I think
so go on then, what are you doing? You've got Cash, you've got Diaby, you're holding Watkins. You're going to sell both your other Aston Villa players?
I think so, yeah.
Go on then. What are you going to do with them?
I don't know yet. Probably Cash for... So what might happen this week is that Cash has to go this week. I'm done with the man.
Right.
He's infuriated.
Because of his tackle on Bentancur.
Well, mostly because of that. That was the final straw that broke the camel's back. However, also, he's playing in midfield today and he's still not getting attacking threat. So, like, he's not getting the clean sheets. He's not getting any attacking threat anymore. So what is he good for?
Yeah, all right. Fair play. So Cash to another Arsenal defender.
Potentially. Cash to Gabriel right. feels Diaby? Like it's on the... Well, so Diaby's a really interesting one, isn't Mbeumo. He? Because Diaby could easily be Mbeumo.
Yeah.
But if Jarrod Bowen is not fit to play in game week 13, then Diaby probably gets a stay of execution for the Bournemouth game.
Yeah.
And Jarrod Bowen becomes Mbeumo. And then maybe Diaby becomes Cole Palmer the week after.
Oof, all right. Well, listen, lots to go through.
That was a lot.
That was a lot, wasn't it?
It was a chaos game. It was chaos.
I'm looking forward to watching that on Match Today, actually, because it does sound as if it was a decent game.
It was a good game.
Let's just finish up by quickly talking about Everton 0, Manchester United 3.
What happened to Mikulenko? Your love affair with Mikulenko?
Yeah, didn't say he was going to return every week. interesting game, this, wasn't it? Because... The Goodison Park crowd were well up for it, right? They were well up for it. They created a bit of a cauldron and all of the crap about the Premier League was going on. And it was like, you know, they'd built a bit of an atmosphere going. And then it just went. Like, in a moment of genius from Garnacho, it just...
It sucked, didn't it?
The plug was pulled out of Goodison immediately. All the fans were just like, oh, you know, they were just like, oh.
I know.
Right, okay. So we got well hyped for this game. And that kid's just scored an absolute worldie out of nowhere.
Yeah, Garnacho doesn't really even know how he's managed to score it.
Another thing to go against us, right? It'd be sort of, woe is us, Everton, right? And then, after the Garnacho goal... The players actually responded to that. They had loads of chances.
Yeah.
And they racked up, as we said at the top of the show, they racked up more XG than Manchester United over the course of the game. And a lot of that was in the second half of the first half. They peppered that Manchester United goal. Calvert-Lewin, second overall in the game week for XG underachievers with a delta of 0.68. And then in the second half, it just fell away. It was a clear penalty. Rashford dispatched it.
Well, you say that, but the ref got it wrong and booked Martial. It was only VAR that fixed it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. And then Martial gets the goal as well. And in the end, United run out comfortable winners. But the point is that had Everton taken one or two of those chances in the second half of the first half, we could have been talking about a different result, couldn't we?
We could. Now, the one defender that we haven't really spoken about yet that I am thinking about and was on my radar is Luke Shaw. So Luke Shaw comes back from injury into this team. And defensively, yes, I hear everything you're saying about Everton and the amount of chances and maybe if they could finish, then it would have been different. But Luke Shaw is a player that historically I've always enjoyed owning. He's the Manchester United fixtures are nice looking. Relatively,
let's have a look.
In comparison to a lot of the other fixtures that we've got going on.
Newcastle away, Chelsea at home, Bournemouth at home, a trip to Anfield, West Ham and Aston Villa. I would call that mixed.
Yeah, but when you're talking about the defence at the moment, there's not that many clean sheets as we spent a lot of time talking about today. But we do get attacking threat with Luke Shaw as well. So I'm basically now looking at my defenders going, I don't want to spend very much money on you. But I would like you to have some level of attacking threat as well, so that if and when the clean sheets go, there's that there. Luke Shaw is much more attractive to me than Reece James is at Chelsea, even without the suspension for Reece James.
Interesting.
So he is on my radar. I'm not doing it this week, but he'd be a player that I'd be looking at. Like, there is the conversation that goes, do I just give I don't want to give Matt Cash any more time. But if I gave Matt Cash one more week against Bournemouth,
you give him Bournemouth, don't you? And then I could see how Shaw gets on. I could then go
for Luke Shaw the week after. Listen,
United are not going to go at St James's and get anything.
Absolutely not. But the weeks after, I think that there are games in there that Manchester United can return in. And that gives Luke Shaw another match.
Not a lot of clean sheets, though, Sam. I mean, Bournemouth at home could be a clean sheet, but Chelsea can score. Liverpool, West Ham, Aston Villa, they can all get goals. I think United, listen, again, Liverpool goggles on, so sorry, Man United fans, but they haven't played anybody for 5 or 6 weeks, have they? They've been getting goals, like worldy goals. I remember, was it Bruno a few weeks ago against Burnley, 1-0, worldy goal.
I don't know. I like Luke Shaw as a player and as an asset, and I do think that he offers some good potential. Okay. He's one I'm interested in.
I ain't seen anybody else on Twitter talking about him, so for sure, not a bad differential. Not a bad differential. Anything to say about Everton in this game? Because the Everton fixtures, again, mixed. Forest, Newcastle, Chelsea, Burnley, Spurs, Man City. I mean, nothing that I saw today makes me want to invest.
No. They're a bit frustrating today, weren't they? Racked up enough opportunities.
DCL should have scored.
Yeah, I mean, DCL's not a bad option, is he? He's a forward and he's really cheap. So if you wanted to go with him, then fair enough. But I'm not loving them.
Better
Everton
options,
picks.
Isn't there?
Better options. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, any other games, Sam, that we can rattle through? Or should we
let's move on. Of course, we have got a game tomorrow night.
We have, Fulham versus Wolves tomorrow night. So look out for that. Any Huang owners? I think he's probably the only one with any FPL interest, I suspect.
Some Leno owners, maybe, still.
Maybe. Quick shout out to all of our patrons. Many of you are in this evening. Very nice to see you, as usual. Patreon.com/FPL family if you want a little bit more of Sam and I in your lives, if you'd like some bonus podcasts, if you'd like to take part in our Manager of the Month competition, if you'd like one-to-one Zooms with us to talk about your team, then patreon.com/FPL family is the place to go and get those things. All the links are in the descriptions below as usual. And at the end of game week 12, I haven't done obviously the totting up for game week 13 yet because we are not yet finished. We've got the Fulham versus Wolves game coming tomorrow. But at the end of game week 12, it was Wilco, actually. It was Matt Wilkinson who was top of the shop with 145, still riding high off of that Doku haul in that dreadful game week. When was that? In game week 11, wasn't it? Mm. Oh, dreadful game week for most of us, but not for Matt. Very, very good. And I think Coco had the same as well, actually. So both those guys riding high with Dan and Aaron. I was going to say not too far behind, but that's a bit of a gap, isn't it? It's like a 19-20 point gap there. So,
and there's not really been a 20-point
It's not
FPL
been that swingier game
unless
week,
Huang
has it?
Unless Huang goes mental and they've got him.
Yeah, so I think it's looking like it's going to be Wilco
unless Wilco's
or
had a shocker.
Coco for the Manager of the Month. So, guys, good luck. Good luck to you. And I'll be doing the totaling up of the scores once the Fulham and Wolves game is done. I'll get my spreadsheet out. I'll total up the scores and we'll let you know who is... The November FPL Family Manager of the Month. All right, Sam, let's get on to our teams. Here is my team for this week. Pretty good. Pretty happy with that. 62 points this week, which is an overall rank change of 53.6%.
Very nice.
I'm up to 814 points.
Look at Pedro Porro there.
Yeah,
what
listen.
A legend.
Yeah, nice, yeah. It's all right. Yeah, not bad at all. Gabriel coming in with a 6, which
unlucky
is nice.
Unlucky not to get 7 as well from him.
Unlucky not to get the 7, but we'll take it. The star of the show is Mr. Anthony Gordon. The star of the show. Absolutely brilliant. Bought him in last week. It was a real, do I go for him or go for Bowen? And in the end, I thought, well, I'm going to go for Gordon last week and I'll get Bowen this week. And in the end, I didn't because obviously Bowen's fluid on his knee. Which meant that actually just despite having a bit of frustration over Gordon blanking last week, coming in clutch with the 13-pointer, loving that. Ably assisted by Saka in the middle there, who got the assist and created a ton of chances as well in that game. So it ended up with 2 bonus points.
Just to decide on Saka for a second.
Go on.
Are you happy with him?
This week, yeah. Haven't been recently because he's sort of ticking over the odd assist, which for... an FPL asset at 8 point something, I haven't been that happy with.
Well, that's my question is that, you know, I'm looking at him and I look at him most weeks and think I probably should get Saka. And then the lack of big returns, there's kind of 5 here, 6 there, maybe a 7 there if he picks up some bonus points, just doesn't
fit.
But
8 this game week is good, right?
But 8 is, yeah.
Wolves and Luton next?
8 is
good. Not selling him, am I?
Oh, God, no, I'm not. I'm just was wondering if it was enough.
I would say he has been mildly frustrating over the last few weeks. But then I watch him in other competitions. Like I watched him against, Who is it in the Champions
North
League?
North Macedonia? Oh.
No. Well, no. Yeah, yes. But also watched him against Sevilla, I think it was, in the Champions League. And he was, like, really good. Got, like, a goal and assist. And he sort of ran the game, didn't he? So, yeah, listen. He's their best player. I'm going to keep him. And it's Wolves-Luton next. So definitely ain't selling. And Bremo, obviously, with the two. But, you know, that's cool. I've held him for these last two game weeks because I want him now for 14. And a lot of other managers are going to go for him. I've now got him in position. But Gordon, the star of the show, no doubt about it. In terms of transfers for next week, because I didn't do the Bowen move, I have now got the two free transfers ready to go for game week 14. Like you, I'm quite keen to get rid of Matt Cash. I'm not sure where I'll go with that. Like I say, I was earmarking Reece James, not obviously going to do that now. Don't know, to be honest with you. Don't know. I'm also not massive on the way that Spurs are playing right now, or indeed defending. I mean, Porro's popping up with a couple of assists, but which is good, right? Which is good. He got one against Wolves. He's got one today. So, you know, 2-1 defeats and one goal for Spurs in each of those games, and he assisted both. So I feel a little bit jammy that he's got them points. But then he's taken a lot of the set pieces and stuff.
I wouldn't feel jammy about that. He's been one of our best players in the last few weeks.
He's taken a lot of your corners and your set pieces and stuff. So that. He's not a priority sell for me, I don't think. Despite the fact I don't think you're going to keep too many clean sheets when you're playing four fullbacks in defence.
No.
But still, he will nick the odd jammy assist, and I'll take it. So Cash definitely looking like an out. Apart from that, I'm not in any hurry to sell Diaby as much as you are potentially. I do want to keep an eye on the Bowen news. I'm still keen on him if fit. But that is a big if at the moment, if this knee is going to turn out to be more of a problem than we thought.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, let's see. I mean, I could just do cash to somebody and roll it. If I've got it burning a hole in my pocket and I really fancy a new goalkeeper, I will get David Raya, I think. And I would probably do Turner to Raya. And then I would have Areola there as a backup because I've got a couple of 0.whatever's millions in him. So I'd keep Areola there. In case what I don't think happens.
What, in case Ramsdale starts?
If Ramsdale starts and what? Raya doesn't start.
Ramsdale's not starting again.
I don't think he is. No, me neither. Because I saw Arteta, if you haven't seen it, go and see Arteta being asked the question about Ramsdale in that post-match and the way he goes from really happy to win the game to we were lucky not to draw that game because of Ramsdale.
Let's be clear. The only reason Ramsdale's got the start this week is because Raya can't play against his parent club.
Yeah, sure.
He's not picked Ramsdale over Raya.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a few of you in the chat saying, Wilco, thank you, mate. Kabore out to Lascelles. Yeah, yeah, maybe. There's plenty of stuff to do. But when I looked at my bus team for game week 13, I did not envisage a 62-pointer, right? I was looking at it thinking, that is not a good team. And I was looking for something that just was a bit par,
yeah.
You know, ride out 13. If I can get a decent week and then I'll go and attack 14. And in the end, Mr. Anthony Gordon and Bukayo Saka have done me the world of good, as has Porro's assist, you know, in this game week. Those are the ones that make the difference. So overall rank up to 123. I'm all right with it. That's very good. That's very good. Sneaking just ahead of me on 816 points with a game week score of 50 so far is Sam Bonfield from FPL Family. Overall rank 109k, not a bad week. But again, Mr. Anthony Gordon, star of the show, right?
Yeah, and I must admit, I can't help but feel a little bit disappointed by today. Because going into that Spurs and Aston Villa game, having four of them in Cash, Diaby and Watkins and Son, I was...
8 points out of them.
I was expecting way more than eight.
Yeah.
And that is infuriating. And let's not beat around the bush. We should have had a couple of goals for Watkins today. We should have had a couple of goals for Son today. The other two, they wouldn't really do a lot. But I kind of can't help but feel just a little bit frustrated by today's actions. I was also incredibly frustrated by Crystal Palace yesterday. The Gaye points, that game was 0-0 for so long that in my head, the 6 points were just locked. And then Luton scored. And I was like, are you taking the mick?
Yeah.
I just did not see that happening. And so that was a little bit frustrating as well. But Saliba with the clean sheet, I'm happy with him. I'd captain.
Poor defending from Anderson on the Luton goal, wasn't it? I know you've got Gaye here, not Anderson, but anyone that's got Anderson and thinking, oh, he should have got 6 points. No.
He was
at fault for that goal. Yeah.
I feel aggrieved that Gaye didn't get them because of that mistake by Anderson, but that is what it is. Captain Salah in the end, and I was torn between Salah and Son. The reason I didn't go for Son was because I just did not know what Ange was going to do. Were we going to play a midfield three like Wolves, or were we going to play the midfield three like today? And actually, when I watched the game today, when I saw the team sheet, I was like, I've done the wrong thing.
Yeah.
My immediate thought was, I've done the wrong thing
here. That creativity in the midfield three,
the creativity's there. It's going to be and that's exactly what happened. Yeah. Exactly what happened. Son just was offside so many times and didn't finish the chances he had.
I would have gone Son,
Yeah.
If I had him, I think I would have had him as captain.
But I think the only reason I didn't was the Spurs. So I noticed in our pod league, Ian and Kelly both captained Sonny this week.
Did they?
And I think it was the Spurs fan in me that didn't, because I felt unsure about what Ange would do.
Yeah.
And I think because I overthought the Spurs thing a lot, I was like, I'm just going to go with Salah because I trust him to get something. And he did get something.
I think there was a hell of a lot of Son against the Villa high line narrative, wasn't there?
There was. And I just didn't trust them. I didn't know what Ange was going to do with the formation. That put me off. You can say, yes, I should have captained Haaland because he got the goal, whereas Salah just got the assist, then he got the bonus points. However, it was really tight for me, and I didn't really know which way to go. And like you, I really struggled this week. The Bowen thing was a factor. Obviously, Cameron Archer coming off the bench for me this time around for Bowen, which I was...
So many people with that, wasn't
which
there?
I was quite... But the thing is, I remember saying to you on Friday night, look, if Bowen doesn't make it, I've got Archer off the bench, so I'm going to hold him, and that's fine. I'm happy with Archer coming off the bench because it's a decent fixture.
Yeah.
What we've seen is that you should never really be happy with Cameron Archer coming off the bench. So going into next week, two free transfers, all ears on David Moyes, and also what happens with the West Ham, because obviously we've got West Ham fixture in midweek with the Europa.
Oh, that's true. So we should hear a bit more about Bowen in midweek.
With the Europa League.
True.
Yeah. So we'll get some understanding, I think, a little bit more from David Moyes in midweek, because I've got two opportunities to hear from him before the weekend. If Bowen is out, that'll be the transfer. It'll be Bowen to Mbeumo. If Bowen is in, then it will likely be Diaby that goes for Mbeumo.
Right.
So it'll just be a wait and see what happens. But I would be...
But cash, definitely.
Yeah.
So you are going to spend your two transfers, no doubt about it. Cash is definitely gone and Mbeumo's definitely in. So that's your two transfers.
Mbeumo's got to come in. That's the priority.
Right.
Matt Cash is the second priority, but also very much a priority.
I'm not happy with all this Mbeumo in. I've had him for weeks now. Now everyone's going to have him. I need to think about... Who's the next player to get ahead of the game, right? Because I feel like Mbeumo's been great, actually, since I've had him.
Yeah.
But now the world's going to have him now in game week 14, aren't they? I think if you've not got him, you're going to have him in.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Okay. Well, listen, good game weeks all round in the FPL family household. Pretty good. Both up into the sort of 100k-ish mark, which is not a bad place to be.
Two points outside the top 100k now, so you must be three.
Not a bad place to be, yeah. I think I'm a couple behind you, actually. I know what, mate? 814 to your 816.
Right,
so
you're four.
Closed the gap, haven't I? I've closed the gap, which is good. So 2 points in it. It's all to play for, as usual, between you and I. Sam, talk everybody through what is coming up this week. Plenty of content all over the place, as usual, I suspect.
All over the place, as usual. So you will be able to catch Lee and the delightful Harry, FPL Harry. I don't know if he's in the chat tonight, but Lee and Harry will be on Off the Bench on Tuesday reviewing...
I hope my voice is better by then.
God, the man flu better have gone by then, blimey. Yeah.
Has Harry had a good week? Harry, if you're in, let us know.
Don't know, but Chelsea haven't, so...
Just every time I go on Off the Bench with him, Chelsea haven't had a good week.
No.
Yeah. I hope he's had a good FPL week, Harry.
Fingers crossed. He had all four of the same Villa Spurs assets that I did today, though, so...
Oh, possibly not.
Possibly
then.
Not.
Do you have any Gordon or Saka?
Don't know. You can catch Lee and Harry on Off the Bench.
I'm going to find out.
On Tuesday. I'll be back on the official pod with Jules and Kel on Thursday. Oh, and Ian's back with us on Thursday as well. So we'll be back on Thursday with the official pod. Well,
40 so far this week for Harry.
Has he got anyone left to play?
40. No, he has got Bowen, who is being subbed out for Archer, same as everybody else.
Yeah.
But no, nothing much
but
to
Harry's
speak
delighted
about.
That we're critiquing his team now.
Nothing much to speak about in his team. It's been a bit of an average week for poor old Harry. That's a 40-pointer.
Gosh, that was a bit of a savage.
Look forward to Tuesday.
Poor old Harry.
Sorry, Harry.
So Off the Bench for those two, if you want to listen to poor old Harry on Tuesday. official pod on Thursday for me this week. And then we'll be back in. The week after is actually chaotic because, of course, we've got midweek fixtures the week after as well.
God,
and loads of content in terms of shows and stuff coming up for both of us that week. So this one's going to be a little bit quieter. But remember, it's midweek action for all of the all of the European teams, so Liverpool, Man City, Manchester United, Arsenal, West Ham, Brighton. I've missed one.
West Ham?
West Ham, Brighton.
Liverpool?
Said them.
Don't know.
I missed one. Definitely missed one because I only got to seven.
It's full steam ahead, though, isn't it? Now
Aston Villa.
We've got international breaks out of the way. European football, no days off for the likes of City and Liverpool and a few others.
No,
it's proper full on now, including, you're right, European games this week, but then two lots of FPL game weeks going into the next week. So loads going on, guys, loads going on. Thank you very much for joining us here tonight on FPL Family. Sorry, my voice is a bit croaky. I've been coughing a lot as well, so hopefully that's not coming across too badly in the podcast. I'm going to go and rest my voice and have a cup of Lemsip or a hot lemon or something now. Hot lemon water or something. Thank you for taking most
man
of the...
Thank you for...
It's real. No, man flu is a thing, Sam. Don't give me that. When men get it, it's worse. It's a lot worse for guys than it is for you girls because we can't handle it. It's the truth of the matter.
Honestly.
But a 62-pointer perked me up no end. It's perked me up no end. So a good FPL game week.
Thank you to Pedro Porro.
Thank you, Pedro Porro. Thank you, Anthony Gordon. And thank you to you guys for joining us here on FPL Family. Leave us a like before you go. Hit that subscribe button if you're new to FPL Family. And we will see you this time next week, 8:30 Sunday, for another live stream. See you soon, guys.
Bye, guys.